This episode of the WDW Review is sponsored by the Theme Park Brothers. I know you've heard me talk about the Theme Park Brothers YouTube channel before in the past, but today specifically I want to mention the ThemeParkBrothers.com newly revised website. All their videos are now easily found on great drop-downs, so if you wanted to find videos on, say, Epcot Center or the Walt Disney World Resorts, it's easy to find. If you want to find videos on SeaWorld, Legoland, Pigeon Forge, it's easy to find. If you want to find great blog posts by Michael Black, that's easy to find as well. So again, search ThemeParkBrothers.com. Hello, welcome to the WDW Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by my regular crew today, Peter Ponocorvo. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing great. Stacy Nyman, how are you doing?
Awesome.
You're doing awesome. Excellent.
I am, yeah.
Hey, let's talk briefly before we start today, and I'm a little depressed because I realize as I look at my calendar, I don't have a trip to Walt Disney World or Disneyland planned for the next few months, and I'm hoping to eke one in at some time early summer like I did last year in May. How about you guys? Pete, you got anything planned right now?
I don't have anything planned for the rest of the year so far.
Oh, man, you're worse than me.
Yeah, no.
I was depressed. Now I feel better.
Two car purchases in 45 days, it'll kind of crush the vacation plans for a while.
Daddy Warbucks.
I'm trying to figure something out. Maybe hopefully we can get like a long weekend or something for the holidays. But
excellent.
Or as just, of now, nothing.
You just bank your points, right, big guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll go for a little longer trip next time, or I don't know.
Look at us. We're like the poor brothers of the family. Stacy's got this giganto family trip coming up. What are you doing with that, Stace?
Yeah, we're at 106 days, so getting to the point where I'm thinking about it. Well, I always think about it, but thinking about it really regularly. And then Scott's brother and his wife and two kids just added on, or two young adults, I should say. So we've already gotten all the dining reservations and everything booked. So now we have to add, try to figure out if we can get four more people on there. And this isn't just like, well, we have a party of four. Now we need to make it a party of eight. No, we have like a party of 16, and now we need to make it a party of 20.
Oh.
So it's not really working very well. And I mean, and these are things like Ohana and 50s Primetime, where it's just a little bit harder to get those numbers. But I mean, I'm, you know, proud to say I got 15 for Ohana. Now we just need to get 20. So it's proving to be a little bit challenging. We might have to have some people sit out for some of the reservations, but I'm sure everybody will be flexible and things. We're at Disney. We'll have lots of fun no matter what.
Stacy, have you dropped Pete in my name? You know, knowing that we're ultra famous, does that help you at all or no?
Well, I'm hoping that I'll be able to use my WDW card when I get down there.
Dang!
For some of these things, you know, I'll wear my T-shirt and I'll get a hat made. You know, I'll throw all the bling around and it should be fine.
That'll be the fastest way to get the table by the bathroom, right in the traffic pattern, right?
Or right. We lost your reservation.
Exactly.
The hot dog stand over there?
I'm sorry. The who party? Nothing here.
Yeah. That
must have been a computer error.
That's the podcast about the Bible study, right? No, it's not the podcast about the Bible study. All right. So, hey, I got a really cool idea today. Okay, so let's be honest. It's my idea, so it's probably marginal. But I have an idea today. But before that, I want to talk briefly about some news and some rumors. So this is legit. You don't know what's coming at you, and I want to get your gut reactions. Is that cool?
Yeah.
All right.
Go for it.
Peter, so on a scale of, let's say, 0 to 10, and Stacy, 0 to 10, what's your desire, or where does going to Disneyland Paris sit on your bucket lists? Give me a scale. 0 being I'm not even interested, 10 being I've got to go.
For me, I'm at a 10. I really, really want to go out. I was just talking to Scott that I really want to go to Europe at some point. Now, he doesn't fly, so that might be a little tricky, but
it might be a
long boat ride.
We'll do like a transatlantic or something, and then just stay there for a while, I guess. We'll have to wait till we're retired, but yeah, definitely want to get there someday.
Okay. Peter, what's your number?
It's like a 6.5, 7 for me.
Okay.
I'd like to. If I don't, it's not going to be the end of the world, but...
Okay.
I'd like to go.
I've been to the park, but everything changes so rapidly that when I went, it was back... Yikes. It was 15, 16 years ago that I've been there, so everything changes. But the reason I mentioned this to you was not more than a few days ago, they announced a multi-year expansion announced for Disneyland Paris. So I'm going to read right from the Disney Parks blog, and you tell me your gut reactions or what this makes you think, okay? So Disney Chairman and CEO Bob Iger announced plans for a 2 billion euro multi-year expansion for Disneyland Paris. Okay, the new development will transform Walt Disney Studios Park, adding 3 new areas based on Marvel, Frozen, and Star Wars, along with new attractions, live entertainment, and experiences. A new lake will be the focal point for entertainment experiences and connect each of the 3 new areas, completing one of the most ambitious projects at Disneyland Paris since its opening in 1992. So, they're going to have 3 new areas, Marvel, Frozen, and Star Wars. It was like they couldn't settle on one, so they said, heck, we're just going to do all of them, and we're going to build it around a lake. Does this make you want to go more? Or does this not change? Does this not move your meter at all here? What do you think?
It doesn't really move mine at all. I mean, I would be excited to go either way.
Okay.
So this would just be kind of an added incentive to want to make that trip. But I mean, it's going to be a long time for me anyway.
Okay.
But yeah, I think it's great that they're expanding. It sounds like they kind of needed it.
Peter, what about you?
Yeah, it doesn't really change how much I want to go. I mean, great for the people that get to go there regularly, but
okay,
like the DCA project didn't excite me all that much either because I don't go to Disneyland.
Okay, how cool does this sound though? Does this change your opinion at least in a little bit? They're gonna go and they're gonna reimagine some of the rides they currently have. One of the ones they're announcing is a reimagining of the Rock and Roller Coaster starring Aerosmith. Because they're, like Steven Tyler's, 176 years old, right? It's going to become a high-speed, hyperkinetic adventure. Okay, no Steven Tyler hate. I love Aerosmith. I probably got 4 or 5 of their songs just in the car yesterday, too. So, high-speed, hyperkinetic adventure featuring Iron Man. How's that for a reimagining? Do you think that would work on the Rock and Roller Coaster track, Pete?
Yes, it'll work on the track. I think it's a good way to get the Marvel characters in there. And, if you got to put an IP to something, at least make it something where it isn't going to be age-dependent on, like, okay, well, do you remember this movie? Because Iron Man's been around for decades.
Seems like an awesome match. When you look at the scenes in the movies, those high intensity flight scenes, that that's like a match made in heaven. I could only hope that if they do a reimagining here, that's
considered. It won't happen here. It can't happen.
It can't happen here. You're right, big guy. I'm sorry. You're right. They can't. They would have to do something.
Unless for some reason Universal decides, oh, we're done with the Marvel characters. You guys can have them back.
You're right. I hadn't remembered that. They would have to do something with the characters they own, which is like the Guardians and whatnot. You're right. But that's a great combination out there.
Now, they could do it out in Anaheim.
Because there's no competing yet.
Because it's not east of the Mississippi River.
Okay. Well, they already they already have Guardians as a takeover for the tower. So, interesting. Stacy, you're a roller coaster person, aren't you?
I am, yeah. I really like roller coasters a lot. I'm not a superhero person, but that doesn't mean that I wouldn't think it would be a fun ride. So,
okay,
I think that would be a very appropriate change.
let's segue right there, and let's go to a little bit of rumor. You guys want to hear some rumors? Can we talk
yes.
about them? All right.
Yes, as long as they're not about us.
we're incredibly boring. You want to know our rumors? We have very, very busy jobs, busy lives. We're boring. We don't have anything good. So here we go. WDW Info, okay? And that's the site I was on earlier today. So, according to a source on WDW Magic, Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party will begin on... When will it begin? Give me an idea. Give me a ballpark of...
Okay.
Unless you know.
I'm going to say August 15th.
Oh, sweet. It's like the 4th of July right to Halloween.
I know. Right? That's how it's kind of feeling.
Peter.
I was going to say something very similar. I was going to say like mid to late August.
Okay.
So, I'll go with the 21st.
You're right, big guy. August the 24th. And they're going to have three total parties in August. What do you think about that? August 24th. Does that seem exceptionally early or what?
It seems really early, but it really is good for us. We can't do it this year, but the Halloween party is something that our family has always really wanted to go to. And with Chicago Public Schools starting after Labor Day, if they have the party starting in August, potentially in the future we could go down there for one of these parties. So I'm hoping that they kind of keep this around for a few years, so maybe we can get down there.
Have you ever been to a Mickey's Not So Scary?
No, we've not been to any of the parties.
Okay. Peter, what about you?
I've been to Christmas party when I was down there last year with my mom. There were Halloween parties going on.
Mm-hmm.
But we, because of the time that we decided to book the trip, the earlier, like, cheaper ticket price was way long gone.
Uh-huh.
And I could not justify the cost to get a bunch of Halloween candy.
Right.
I
mean, they are really expensive.
I luckily, staying at the Polynesian, we were able to see the Hallowicious fireworks
a couple
of times. So, you know, I mean, okay, I didn't get to see the characters, but not the end of the world.
I really want to see the Headless Horseman. I think that that's the thing that I really want to go just to see that. But yeah, it's an expensive price. I think that it would probably be a one and done for us for when we have children, you know, when we have kids still with us, and then maybe Scott and I would go back to do.
I would go parties later on. I'd go back to the Christmas party again. I think that the ticket. I think when we got our Christmas party tickets, they were a little bit cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
But when we were thinking about getting the Halloween tickets, the DVC price had already gone up. The AP price had already gone up. So I mean, it would have been. I think it was close to, if not slightly over, $100 a person.
Yeah, that's, yes.
And we had already, my mom had already gotten her tickets for the trip, so I couldn't ask her to swallow an extra $100
right.
and burn a day ticket and then the party ticket on top of it.
Right, yeah. There's a lot of logistic things. It's one of my bucket list things to do the week between the two so that you can... And that sounds like that's when you were there, maybe, to go to both parties.
No, because we were actually there for Halloween. Week before Halloween.
Okay.
So we were at the very tail end of the group of party nights, which is unfortunately why there were so many party nights while we were there.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's probably when they're the most busy
and that's when they're the most expensive. The closer you get to the holiday they're celebrating, the more expensive it becomes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right. Let's talk about a few more rumors, if you guys don't mind, then we'll get into our show.
Yeah.
So this again comes from WDW Info. All right. Tomorrowland is the focus of the updates that the Magic Kingdom is getting in preparation for the Walt Disney World 50th anniversary. The Tomorrowland Transit Authority, or People Mover, could see significant updates as part of the facelift to this land. As noted before in previous rumor updates, Tron, Carousel Progress, Speedway, Stitch's Great Escape are all expected to be part of that as well. Stitch, what's the story with Stitch, Pete? What do you know about Stitch right now?
As far as I know, Stitch is closed.
Yep. So that
there
wasn't
is
much.
No more Stitch.
That wasn't much of an update, was it? That's what I heard.
No,
that was a bad update.
Stitch, I knew about.
All right. So here's something. I know you'll cheer for this one. Bland could see an update to its aesthetic, and moving back towards its original color scheme and look when the park opened in 1971. Is that a good thing, Pete?
I'm down for that. That's cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
I knew you'd be down for that. All right. So let's go to Epcot here. So site clearing for the heavily rumored Brazilian pavilion. Say that 10 times
Brazilian
fast.
Brazilian
pavilion.
Yeah,
that's hard.
Say that 10 times fast. Is set to begin this year. It's going to be open.
Wow.
It's going to be open without a major attraction.
That was a shock.
And yeah, exactly. It's actually, well, I'm going to leave it alone. I'm not going to touch it. I'm just leaving it alone. In 2022, for Epcot's 40th anniversary, it's going to be situated next to Germany, where the model trains are. Okay?
Okay.
The United Kingdom Pavilion seems to have decided on theme. I guess there was a movement towards Brave, but instead they said, heck, Chris saw Mary Poppins. We're going back to Mary Poppins. So we don't know what we don't know what kind of attraction it's going to be. But it's going to be open and running for the 50th anniversary, they're hoping. Okay?
50th anniversary. So we're talking 15 years from now.
No. Not Epcot's 50th anniversary. Walt Disney World's 50th anniversary. I'm sorry. I should have been more clear.
I was going to say, like...
Yeah, I apologize.
They're really padding their build times now.
Right?
Crazy.
We got a 15-year outlay here.
They didn't even do that with Star Wars, for crying out loud.
All right. There's some lesser stories, but honestly, I want to get to our show today. So I'm excited about this one, and here's why.
Wait.
Uh-oh.
You forgot something from Epcot that is going to impact people.
Okay, so you know what?
You and I discussed this.
I wanted you to hit it. Yes, Pete stopped by my work today. I love it when the big guy steps by. We get a chance to brainstorm. Go ahead. Right. I know it affects you more affects me.
Actually, it doesn't affect me because I won't be there while it's happening.
Okay.
But for those that are there currently or going to be there within the next couple of months, bad news if you're a school bread fan and you really just have to get it at the Kringle Bakery, it is closed.
Oh, no.
The school bread, the troll horns, the lefse, no longer available at Kringle Bakery. They are being remodeled. Supposedly it's going to be an upgrade for their seating area and going to be changing the people flow in the actual bakery itself.
Well, that would be good.
On the upside, kiosk across the promenade is open. This is going to be a strange combo, folks. School bread, horns, lefse, and sandwiches are currently available at the beer cart in Norway. But they are going to be opening a semi-permanent kiosk across the promenade like they have over by the China Pavilion. We're hoping they have those. We know they will have those things, but we're hoping they'll have a few others from the bakery as well.
Skål, right?
Sounds good. Yep, you're good.
That's an interesting combination. Pete and I were talking earlier that if they planned on closing that to, you know, create a better queuing experience, there should have been a Plan B in works. It shouldn't have been the hang on now, where are we going to put all this stuff type situation.
Right.
But we can all agree, if you've ever been in the bakery or you're sitting in the area outside, it could be better.
Well, and especially with the popularity of Frozen and everything, mm-hmm. I'm sure that they're seeing a lot more people coming through there as well. So it's probably way, way, way beyond what they hoped.
Yeah. All right, you ready to go now, guys? Can we get
okay.
to...
Sorry. Right.
Yep.
Don't apologize. That's important. So, Stacy, here's the question for you. You're signed up for your... Is this going to be your first Run Disney event?
In January. Yeah, we haven't signed up yet. It doesn't open until April, I don't think. So, but yes, it will be our first.
And you're excited for this because, naturally, you're a running fiend. I mean, I see pictures all the time. Right?
Starting to be, yes. I'm at the start of my journey.
Okay. So he did. So the Run Disney community is crazy, and there's races at every park, and the ticket prices and the revenue they generate from these Run Disney events, as well as the amount of participants, it's through the roof. Wouldn't you agree that the popularity of the Run Disney events are just through the roof?
Oh yeah.
All right. So here's what I tasked us with. Let's call this segment the Imaginaire Amateur Hour because, well, that's fitting because it comes from us. Let's brainstorm on new events that we could give Disney, not unlike the Run Disney event, but things that we could go and offer that aren't obviously a running event that would still be a Disney event, because they positioned them at the towards the middle end of January when it was a slower time. So let's imagine some great events that would take the place, not take place, but be in addition to draw crowds at, I guess there really isn't a slower time, but what would be a slower time? So you guys ready for this? Are you guys brainstormed and put some good ideas?
Yeah, kind of.
I got a couple.
We'll see how it goes.
Okay, so I've got a few myself. Let's go with ladies first. Give me something. Wow. Pretend I'm Bob Iger. Wow me with your ideas. All right? You can be Joe Rohde. You can have the big earring. Tell me, wow me.
I have one super ridiculous one. I think I'll save that for the second one. It's really ridiculous. But because I wasn't sure which, like, if we were going serious, if we were going silly or whatever. So I was like, I'll come up with one of each.
Stacey, we thrive. We thrive on super ridiculous. That's our mantra, all right? Go ahead.
Believe me, I know. So Scott and I used to love watching The Amazing Race here. We haven't watched it so much lately, but we love the whole game aspect of that. Have you guys ever watched The Amazing Race?
A little bit.
Yeah, I've watched it, but I'm not a regular watcher.
So basically it's teams of two who are going all around the world and they're competing in challenges to try to get to a certain checkpoint first. So so my idea would be to hold these challenges. Maybe they only do them certain days of the week, maybe it's just during a certain time of the year, but you know, you sign up ahead of time and maybe there's just different waves, you know, like they have a morning, afternoon, evening groups, you know, groups of 50 teams or something like that. And you're competing against each other. You're going through all four parks, competing in challenges at all four parks, stopping at checkpoints, possibly doing, you know, scavenger hunts, physical challenges. It's obviously all about time. But, you know, you're also competing against the public, the crowds that are there. Maybe one of the things has to do with an attraction and you have to wait in a line that's exceptionally long. So it's just, you know, a lot of it can be luck of the draw, but it can also be skill and strategy as well. So I know that wouldn't be a capacity. You know, that wouldn't really, you wouldn't really be able to get hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people through this, but I mean, if it's another option, it's kind of like a tour. I was thinking, you know, mm-hmm. that maybe a few people might do, but for the people who are into competition, that might be a really fun add-on to a trip to be able to compete in something like that.
You know what? I could plus yours up a little bit too.
Yeah, please do, because I didn't really think this through a whole lot. I've had kind of a busy day. So. Yeah.
So let me plus your idea up. Let's say you have different categories. Let's say you've got a spouse team. Let's say you've got a senior division, right?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. That'd be great.
There you go. That way you can have multiple winners.
Multiple winners. You might even be able to have parks, perhaps. Instead of just, you know, going to all different parks, maybe you have a park that is the senior division. You know, I don't know, whatever park you want to use, but whatever creative name, or you have, you know, the spouse division, you know, so something along those lines.
Yeah. I mean, it can go through resorts. You can go, you know, so that mm-hmm. Walt Disney World is,
you can have a park division and a resort division.
Exactly.
Heck, you could even have it based on capability level too. You could have like a tough mudder version of that. You know,
right.
where you fight yourself.
You're losing me.
Well, you know what I'm saying, Pete? You and I, we're doing the casual walking tour version of it. Go. We're skipping the tough mudder version.
We're doing the rascal version.
Peter, what do you got?
So I have two. The first one I like a lot, I'm calling it the Tour de World. Picture Tour de France on a bike, but set in Disney World.
Okay. Ah.
Multi-day bicycle race, different area, different park each day. You know, they shut down the roads for the marathons anyway, so mm-hmm. It sounds like they don't have experience with that. I think that could be something that could be really interesting. You even, you know, do loops between, you know, Animal Kingdom to Disney Springs and then up to Epcot or and then down to Studios.
Mm-hmm.
Back over to Springs and then back over to Animal Kingdom Lodge or something like that.
And if they don't bring, let's be honest, at the Running Expo, they sell shoes off the, you know, they sell shoes for $100.
Cannondale would make money.
Right, right. The corporate sponsor, Schwinn.
We could punish the people that don't bring their own bike, and they have to bring ride a Surrey bike in the event.
By themselves.
Oh my gosh, that would be
by themselves.
Or they just do it with Surrey bikes only.
Oh my gosh.
And then Reedy Creek Fire will be inundated with cardiac arrest.
For sure.
Yes.
There's an AED on each bike, Pete.
Yep, everybody has to wear one from the start to the end.
You know, I thought about this idea before, and I was like, what happens if you don't have a bike? Can you rent a bike? Man, the bike rentals would be gone immediately. You'd have no chance of securing a bike at that place. So
yeah, but I mean, if you do it for... This could be done more for the locals.
Yeah.
Because, like, they have the tour to Elmhurst, or... Arlington Heights this tour.
Okay.
Over by the hospital. So they have one over a weekend.
I like this idea, though. You could do it over multiple days because, let's be honest, of the roads there, you can devise a new route every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think people realize how far, like, 10 miles on a bike is. I mean, I know the runners, obviously, that listen to the show would know that. But 10 miles on a bike, it's not easy.
It's not terribly difficult either, though. I mean, I'm thinking you're talking like marathon distance on a bike. You can knock that out in an hour or two.
Okay, I can't say I've ridden 26 miles, but let's say there's different categories for this too, you know?
Yeah, so. I mean, you can do different, you know, age divisions.
Nice. I like it.
You know, whatever, different distances.
Cool. I'm in. I like that one. It's a really good idea. I do like that one. Peter, do you want...
What's your first one, Chris?
Do you want my best one or my least favorite?
Let's start with the least favorite. I want you to finish the show strong this time.
All right. Here we go. So, yeah, I know. I caught the dig. I caught it. Here we go. So here's my first one. Over a weekend, find the isolated weekend that's the weakest. And we're going to have... I like your idea, Stacey. You mentioned my word. We're going to have a scavenger hunt. But here's the deal. It's going to be a midnight scavenger hunt in the parks. And
I'm in.
All four parks are open. You would sign up at a
Absolutely.
Park, okay? And they are hiding genuine things. They're hiding things for you to find. So there's no attractions that are open. It'd be simply in the landscape. So the ticket cost wouldn't be outrageous. And you'd have a controlled number, but you'd be able to disperse them throughout the park. So if you had capacity of 1,500 at Magic Kingdom and so on and so forth. So the idea would be the items are going to be hidden throughout the park. You're taking up a time that's not otherwise sold. It's midnight. Everyone would buy their glow stuff. Everyone would be dressed up in their light-up stuff. And you'd be able to find items that would be unique. You know, something really pretty special. And it would take place over, you know, one night, two nights, whatever you want to do. You could break it out to where you'd have Magic Kingdom and Studios one night. And the next night it would be Animal Kingdom and Epcot. But that'd be over... you know, one weekend, or you could do one park four times a year. But the idea is let's use that time, midnight.
You can also do it where it's not just like find items, but if you don't necessarily have attractions running, but like let's say at Epcot, the pavilions are open.
Mm-hmm.
So you could go into the Mexico Pavilion and you have to find a certain item there that, or a plaque or something that is... numbers on it, and you need to put that number in with something else you find somewhere else in the park and come up with a sum where you actually have to figure out what they're looking for.
Sure. I thought to
make it more puzzle based too, instead of just, oh, I found this, I found that.
We just had to control. We would have to control the numbers, because if you put in a flood of humanity, it could get ugly. It could get ugly quickly on those situations, you know, but I thought, you know what? It's not using up any of the space in the park in the daytime. You're bringing people out at nighttime, and we know that the parks are beautiful at the daytime, but it's nothing.
They're even more beautiful at night.
You're right.
They're unbelievable at night.
All right. Mine is the Midnight Scavenger Hunt. Stacy, what is your other one?
Oh my gosh, this is really bad.
And remember, that was week one.
I might be rivaling the car dealership.
Oh, where's the mute?
I still think that wasn't a terrible, terrible idea, I have to admit. Yeah. So,
backpedal.
When I was in, sixth grade, maybe, I went to Chicago Park District Day Camp, Wells Park, and we had a team there that competed in sand modeling. So that sounds like it's like we were like all in our bathing suits, like modeling the sand. No, we were building things in the sand. So it was ultra competitive to the point where I was just really blown away and really surprised. I have to say that I have a medal from that, being first place out of all the different park districts. But woo-hoo! You go and like you use all these intricate tools to build these sand sculptures. Our sculpture was a simple daisy, but I mean, you have to remember, we were like 12-year-old girls, so it wasn't really like we were adults who had been, you know, studying architecture or anything. But we made this gigantic daisy, and it was really pretty nice, but it was really difficult to do. So my idea is to have a sand modeling competition at Walt Disney World, all along all the beaches. You guys are silent.
No,
there's a silence.
There's a reason.
You want to know why I'm silent, Stacy? If I was standing next to you, I'd give you a big kiss.
Stole Chris's other idea.
I'll give you a big kiss. It's one of my ideas too. So you can utilize any beach and any resort that would have a beach. So Grand Forks, Coronado Springs, Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge used to have a beach. But I don't know if they do anymore based upon Copper Creek and the cabins and
right.
whatnot.
Yeah, I don't know. So it's have, like, small little areas, yeah.
It's a sandcastle building contest. Your fee would include t-shirts, bibs, and the spectators around the resorts. Because think of all the sand properties around the resorts.
Right.
So you would draw people just to see the artistic work. I love your idea. It's a great idea. See that? What do you think about that?
I actually discussed that earlier, and I said, I'm not going to steal that. That's yours. And
oh,
then,
that's so funny. Well, now I feel a lot better, because I was like, this is silly
that's
thing.
That's a great idea.
Okay, good.
And then we'll have to talk later on about that car dealership thing still, because that hurt. Okay.
Whatever.
Peter, go ahead.
We'll
hit us up.
Talk.
It is Ramon's annual custom car show.
Oh.
Everybody knows who Ramon is, correct?
Of course.
Yes.
The custom painted car from Cars. We have our Art of Animation.
Voiced by who, Pete?
Cheech Marin.
That a boy.
But here's the thing. You can do this a couple of different ways and into a couple of different areas. Let's say you invite some professional car builders, you know, Chip Foose, you know, some of the guys on Velocity or whatever. And those cone builders, their cars are showcased over at Art of Animation in the Cars area.
Okay.
Then the general public car show can then be held in the Magic Kingdom parking area.
Ah.
Good point. So there's more space for people.
More space. You can have, you know, your general public, you know, people coming from the local areas or trailering their cars in. Their cars can be on display for just the weekend of the car show in the parking area, whereas the professionally built cars, I don't mean these other cars wouldn't be professional.
I know what you mean.
But the famous, quote-unquote famous builders, their cars could be on display for maybe a slightly longer period of time of a couple of weeks at the Art of Animation Cars area.
You know what? I love it. And
yeah, they can even do cool. They can do something similar out in Anaheim with Cars Land in DCA.
I'm just not sure where they would park the other cars, because that would be crazy with all those people.
They're expanding that park.
Yeah, that's true.
They're going to have new parking areas. I'm just saying.
I like the idea. I do. And you know what? there's always something pretty cool and special when you drive a car show on the way home from work, like three or four times the same period every month, and it's always pretty cool. You know, you see those muscle cars sitting out there, and I like it. It's really cool.
Yeah, and I mean, everybody likes to look out their window when they're driving and see a really unique car going by, like the old ones and everything. That I think it's very universally appealing.
Okay,
and it's family friendly. You know.
Okay, and so what do you charge for something like that, Pete? The Spectator is obviously free to get into this and enter your car. How do you generate revenue?
You know, I think in that situation you're getting the kind of incidental revenue through purchases, you know, food vendors. So maybe you have the food trucks that are over at the Springs. They come over to the car show area. You know, they can set up kiosks or, you know, whatever they want to do for that kind of stuff. You know, you can do merchandise. I can easily see t-shirts, pins, you know, Ramon's fourth annual custom car show 2026 or what, you know, whatever.
Right.
It would be easy to do yearly stuff for that.
Kind of like a festival of the masters, but instead of it's just cars and okay.
Yeah, and if you have a time of year where it's super slow and that park the parking lot's not being used anyway, you use it for something. It's not costing Disney anything.
Yeah, it doesn't cost them much.
And let's be honest, car people are insane about their cars. When you've got a classic car, they're insane. They protect it like it's a child. So, and they want to show it off. So I love the idea. That's really
and
cool.
And somebody that lives up here by us is more than happy to go down there and take their custom car, throw it in the trailer. Trailer their car on down there and spend a week, because you know the people that are going to show their cars, if they're not locals, you know they're staying.
Yeah, I just might enter in the old van, huh, Pete?
There you go. You got you vintage bumper stickers from Disney World on the van.
There you go. I'd be sure to have no one look at my car. All right, so here we go. I've got two left because Stacy. She ingeniously, she stole one of mine.
Swiped one.
I love it,
though. Yeah, got it.
I love it. All right, so these two, this one is based around Halloween. So here's how you get money for this. I love when I watch the videos where they decorate the pumpkins and the staff decorates the pumpkins. They're really artistic. Have you seen the videos on YouTube from Mouse Steps and whatnot? So let's do it. Let's do a pumpkin carving contest, but let's set it up in one location. And here's where it's going to be. It'll be around the entirety of Crescent Lake. And so how many pumpkins can you fit around Crescent Lake? So you're going to generate this and a ton. You're going to have to pay for the pumpkin. You're going to have to pay for the table location. You're going to get a shirt. I don't know how the judging would take place, but it's specifically around Halloween weekend. Or maybe the weekend prior to that, but you have your pumpkin carving contest. Imagine the hub of activity around the Boardwalk Yacht Club, you know, Beach Club. And at nighttime, you know, obviously there's not a lit candle, but at nighttime, imagine how beautiful that would be if all those pumpkins were illuminated at nighttime with the.
You can use a glow stick or an LED light or something.
So, I mean, you can easily generate revenue. How much would you pay if we had a team? How much would we end up? We'd pay whatever it was to get involved with that.
Oh, how about this? Use the Mickey-shaped pumpkins from the land to carve in the pumpkin contest.
If they could produce 2,500 of them,
they can, if they had the time, I'm sure they could produce them.
Yeah.
Because really all you're doing is limiting how it can grow into the correct shape.
You know, the idea of creating additional... you know, an additional draw around there, because honestly, Mickey's Not So Scary is going to draw people to Magic Kingdom.
Right.
So, and I love Halloween. Personally, you know, Halloween is just a tad under Christmas for me. Halloween's my holiday, and I've always felt that way. This would draw me down there at Halloween time to see this, around all of Crescent Lake, to see all those pumpkins decorated and lit up. What do you think, Stacey?
Yeah, I think that would be very cool. I definitely would see that.
They put out decorations for Christmas at all the resorts. This would kind of pull that over towards Halloween and cause them to have to decorate some of the resorts for Halloween, but I don't see a problem with that.
No, and they're generating all the revenue for this, because I'd sign up for this. What would you tell me it would be? I'm paying for it anyways.
All right, let's say Okay, so it's, say it's 50 or 75 bucks for the pumpkin and the ability to get to carve it, and you get a t-shirt out of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably going to make 50 bucks per entry on that. The t-shirts are going to cost them next to nothing.
And think of how big a pumpkin is, and think of how much room there is around Crescent Lake. Huge.
Yeah.
Huge. All right. Stacy, you got another one, or are you out?
I don't. Okay. No, I'm out.
Pete, you got one?
No, this is all you, brother.
Right, so... Okay, so I've got some weak ones here, and then I'll go to a good one here. So I was thinking of a hot dog eating contest around Boardwalk around the 4th of July.
Oh, that would be great.
But I can't figure out logistically how it works. So imagine the amount of hot dogs you'd have to produce, and then the disgusto-meter as you're bringing out hot dogs in bulk around the lake to people, you know? But I know that the 4th of July hot dog eating contest, you know, from Nathan's Famous.
Coney Island, yeah, whatever, yeah.
Is so popular. But I couldn't figure out the logistics. But I'm going to put that one out there just as a footnote.
You know what? Here's one of the issues I have with that.
Mm-hmm.
ESPN covers the Nathan's hot dogs. How are they going to sit there and put something out that's going to compete right in front of ESPN Club?
Well, maybe it's not televised, Pete. You know what? The idea is just for the people, you know, for the resort guests.
Yeah.
And then who's judging all these people? You know? And then who's providing the cleanup crew for this?
I don't see this becoming a moneymaker for them. You know
probably
what I mean?
Not. I can't figure the logistics, so I'm just letting this one go. I thought of also, what about a giant, like, dessert party? Dealing with like pumpkin pie, having like a pie eating contest, but it's like, okay, I'm gonna get off the food. I'm leaving the food alone. Here's my idea, and I caught it from Michael Black, and I caught it from the Theme Park Brothers. They produced a segment, sponsored the show. They produced a segment. It was smooth.
Wow.
That was
really, really smooth.
All right. So what they used to do, and I could appreciate that, a few of the resorts, people go crazy and they decorate their windows and they decorate their balconies. You've probably seen the ones with Christmas lights and they really go hog wild. So here we go. So the resort block off a segment of the rooms that had public facing balconies. Potentially windows, but balconies are more. And they would sell those rooms at a premium price. There'd be an upsell for those. And they would have a public balcony decorating contest. And it would be at every resort where there was public access to a block. So it's not the entire resort. It would just be, you know, for these 50 rooms that face on Animal Kingdom Lodge and these 25 rooms over here. And you, when you, you know, came to that resort, you would find out where the rooms were at. It might almost be by public support of the room. You'd get every resort to participate in this contest to decorate these balconies and these windows.
Trying to think how that could work with some of the resorts, because like not all of the resorts have balconies.
It's true, and some are hard to get to. I get that.
And like, okay, how would you decorate at the Contemporary?
Well, you gotta,
you know what I'm saying?
But those rooms do have balconies, Pete, you know?
They do, but they face the interior, like towards the lake, don't they?
Well, both sides. They face both sides. They face both lakes. That's a bit.
Yeah.
It could face Discovery Island. You know, it could face the Grand Floridian. But the idea wouldn't be the entire resort. So you'd have a block of rooms. And just think of the retail price for these rooms, Pete. I know that those resorts are expensive. You'd be paying 30, 40% more to be entered into their contest.
Oh.
Yeah. But remember, that's what Run Disney guys are paying anyways. Right? They're paying... Stacey, how much is it going to cost for the half marathon?
I haven't even looked at it yet.
Oh.
Sorry.
Well,
it'll a lot.
It'll surprise you. it will surprise you.
Uh-huh.
So I'm thinking you upcharge the room, but wouldn't that get you to go and spread around and maybe see resorts you haven't seen before? Anybody? Crickets?
Yeah, I think that it would be good. So the only reason that I hesitate, because I've recently read some really strange threads on Facebook groups about some... I don't remember where it was, but somebody had put lights on the balcony. It might have been, I don't think it was a DVC. It might have been, I don't know. I think it was a deluxe resort.
Mm-hmm.
And people were going nuts over how dare they ruin the look of the hotel and Ooh. Do this. So, but I think that it would be a really good idea if it was like just during a certain week.
Yeah.
So that you know that like everybody knows when it's going to
be.
It's
this weekend.
And like
yes.
It's like this really, you know, kitschy type of a thing like they do with the Fort Wilderness campgrounds and stuff. Everybody knows that that's going to be going on over there.
Mm-hmm.
So then that way people who are more purists and who don't want to see any of that, they can just they know that that week is on to avoid mm-hmm. or something like that. So yeah, I think that that would be a really kind of a cool thing.
So
I would definitely go around and tour resorts to see the different decorations.
So if you want to see an example of this, so check out the Theme Park Brothers. Michael did this. He hasn't done one for quite a while, but they were mostly at like Art of Animation, and
mm-hmm.
he might have done it at Pop. He might have done it at the sports.
Yeah, I know they've done it at Pop.
Yeah,
the window tour.
Yes, and they used to give out like a prize because on any given day they would go and see. Let's say they would look at 25 different windows, and they would give out a prize, and it was nothing. It was like just a card saying that, hey, you're being featured on the Theme Park Brothers. We love your window. And it was like a cool acknowledgement. But some of these windows were like ridiculous.
Yeah, people do really awesome things with the windows.
Yeah.
Those are amazing, yeah.
But just think if you came and you did the same thing. It could just be windows too. You know, I haven't quite, but the idea would be to stoke the creativity of your guests.
Yeah.
And I would personally go and stay for the weekend, and I would love to go and check out three resorts this night with my wife. We go and get ourselves some dinner. We go to the next three on the next night. We have dinner
and
a drink.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Right?
Yeah, Peter, I think that would be really cool.
You're researching there. You got your researching look on. What do you
got? No, okay, so the half marathon costs.
Hang on. Stacey, have a seat, Stacey.
Yeah, you're going to want to sit down for this. So,
okay, I'm doing the half and the 5K, so,
Go ahead, big guy.
Registration for 10K and half marathon challenges usually runs around $320.
Oh, man. Don't
half marathon distance is usually around $185.
You say Scott can't listen to this?
Block this from him.
Okay, I'll edit it. Pete, it's enough. That's
okay,
enough.
Dopey.
We're losing
just
her.
Just so she knows, Dopey Challenge, just under $500.
That's great. Wait, but you said 10K plus the half.
10K and half is usually around 320.
Okay, that's better. It was the
each.
Half was 320 by itself.
Yeah, no,
the
it was
half
two.
Okay,
yeah.
So 185 by itself.
Okay, that's I can handle it. It's fine. That's totally fine.
The goofy is what the 5, the 10, and the half.
Pete,
I think 10, half, and 4,
five,
maybe?
5, 10, and half.
She's wishing you'd stop talking, Pete, right now. We know.
The 5, 10, half, and full is the Dopey Challenge. Sorry.
Okay.
Wow. Well, so the market's here. That's the point, is for every one of these events, that was a kind of our purpose for today. Let's have fun. But
right.
These are ways we can draw people that aren't necessarily running events. We had some great ideas. The bike rally, the sandcastle contest. The pumpkin carving, the scavenger hunt at midnight. These are all, at least we think, they're probably awful ideas, but we think they're great ideas. If Disney wanted to use them, we're completely reasonable on our fee. I assure you, we're very reasonable. So
I actually tell you what, for me, my fee is just let me come in and partake.
Yeah,
you don't even
I'll
have
just
to pay me for the idea.
Absolutely.
Just let me participate.
And Stacey's fee is she just wants to get her entire family.
Yeah, just let
all 20 of them to go and
run.
Eat.
Yeah, exactly. Just give me an Ohana reservation for 20, please. That's great.
Reasonable. All right.
I have a feeling you're going to be a cluster of tables for that one.
Yeah, Stace. We already have. No, we have one table of 15, so I
yeah.
don't think. I honestly
when you
don't
try
think
to add five
even,
more, I'm pretty sure you're
yeah.
going to become a cluster of tables.
Oh, we for sure would. I just don't even think that's going to happen. I don't think that we're going to be able to find it. So.
Well,
see.
Here's the thing.
Check
here's
the 45
my suggestion.
Mark.
Well, my suggestion is call down there and speak to someone at Ohana directly.
Mm-hmm. Good plan.
That's what I would do. Call them, say, here's the situation. I have a group of 20 people. It's a family reunion trip. We all want to eat together at the same time. How can we accommodate this?
And you
yeah,
have
no,
a reservation,
no,
right,
I work
Stacey?
With you.
Already?
What was that?
You have a reservation already for a certain amount, don't you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So it's you already have an existing reservation for a large number. Is there a possibility of doing that and you're not afraid to cry on the phone to make that happen.
No, of course not.
Okay.
I'm sure it will not come to that, but I'm sure they'll work with you as much as they can.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, they're
I mean,
great.
It's our home resort. If we can't
exactly.
If we can't eat at our own homes, where
can
we?
No kidding. I'll pull that out. I'll be like, look, I am a DVC member at this resort.
At the Polynesian.
Don't you know?
Do not make me call Beth Axon.
Exactly.
Yeah, you won't like these.
You do not want that.
All right.
She
so
comes
if,
down there, start cracking heads.
If you've listened to this and you've got a good idea, don't be afraid to share with us on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. We would give you all of our addresses, but honestly, the way you could find us best is the WDW Review Facebook page.
If you think our ideas are great and want to tell us so, we're open for that. If you think our ideas are terrible, this was all Chris's plan.
Come on, people. No one votes for my ideas. Give me a little love here. All right. For my friend Peter, for my friend Stacy, thank you for downloading and listening. Have a great day.
See ya. Bye, everybody.
All right, Aerosmith has taken the stage. Whoa, check out Steven Tyler's hat. Okay, LA, crank it up, because we're getting ready to rock on this exclusive live broadcast.